It's 7 p.m. Thursday, and this is All About Wine. With All About Wine's resident wine expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida.
First, we were talking last week about Asian wineries and Asian grapes. We're going to finish up Australia today. That's what we're doing with the France. So we're continuing with France. Tonight. Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly. Mike and I were talking about is the possibilities of hooking up with different wineries in different states and finding out what's going on. Sounds like it might be a whole lot of fun.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery in Basser, Kansas.
Organic Farm on the coast of Maine near Mount Desert Island.
Westport Rivers, Westport Mass.
Haverhill.com. The Napa Valley of the Midwest.
RainbornWines.com. In Santa Rosa.
Ten Spoon in Montana.
Alba Vineyards.
We're the largest estate vineyard in New Jersey.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery. New Jersey's top-rated winery for 2011.
India Vineyards on Route 93 is the main highway coming right up the center of New Hampshire out of Massachusetts.
Bebock Winery. We are actually the highest-rated red wines in New Mexico.
Well, Southwest Wine is actually located in Deming, New Mexico.
Well, La Viña is the oldest winery in New Mexico.
Castello di Borghese, the first winery established in Long Island.
Blackhead Lake Winery, and we're located at Cushing Park in Montana.
Mammoth Prairie Winery in Moscow, Idaho.
Brotherhood is America's oldest winery since 1839.
Ithaca, New York, College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
The website is freethegrapes.org.
All right, grab a phone and let's talk about wine tonight. Dial area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. All right, let's start the show and let's talk about wine.
Okay.
Thank you, Bastivo. Thank you.
Thank you.
Another beautiful day here in paradise.
Fantastic weather. Did you have any echoes or any audio issues on that?
No, it turned out well.
Okay, then that's on my end because I heard echoing and all kinds of dropouts. So.
Oh no, not at all. This
yeah. Yeah. If this was the show that I used to do a long time ago where I did comments and opinions, I would give a few opinions on Roadrunner Lightning.
You can now. Yeah. I don't think.
Yeah, no, we're not going to turn it into one of those things. So
I've it's used all Roadrunner about... before in the past, though, and Roadrunner never gave me. Lightning, was that a new version?
It's a high speed. It's supposed to be 40 megabits per second download and 5 megabits per second upload, whereas normally you get like 5 megabits download and 1 or 2, I think, upload. So it's supposed to be faster. But what I've been finding in the past 3 weeks that I've had it is only fast when it's connected. So when it's not connected, which has been very often, it's not. There's no point to it. So I'm gonna have to look into that. But I had basic, internet access. It was great. I mean, it was anyway. So talking about wine.
Yeah, all about wine.
We
had a little delay there at the beginning, too. Something, we weren't jumping right into our intro. That was
that was strange.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
And maybe it's Blog Talk Radio. Maybe the Skype connection with Blog Talk Radio is messed up.
It could be.
They're having server issues. I don't know. But
I don't know. It didn't tell me to connect to a different host login, which they did last week. So
right.
Maybe it is very full and just not so full, but it still could be delays and stuff. Who knows?
Yeah. I am going to bug out and get our first guest ready, and we'll be back.
Fantastic.
After this. Okay, good.
I'll let you go get that. We our guest tonight is actually courtesy of Mike Wilson. We talked to Mike Wilson last week from Vineyards at Hershey. He talked to us about the marketing and everything in Hershey and all that good stuff. And he said that he has an individual that would be willing to come on the show, Jake Groover, or Grover. I think it's Groover or Grover. I'll have to ask Jake and find out for sure. From Armstrong Valley Vineyard and Winery in Halifax, Pennsylvania. And so we're going to get Jake on the program. We're going to find out what Jake does and have him tell us about Halifax, the town, and have him tell us about the vineyard and all of that good stuff there and Armstrong Valley Vineyard. and what they're growing and all that, and see what's going on in that area. I don't know if the snows they've had up in that area this past week affect them that far south, but with all the warm weather in that part of the country, and I'm sure a lot of them, in fact, we've talked to some people about getting bud break already. The last two or three weeks, we were talking to Pennsylvania, and almost everyone said they were starting to get early bud break because of all the warm weather they're having there. And now, just last week, they had snowstorms go through. Trouble is that when the snowstorms go through this time of year, it's very, very wet, so it tends to pull branches and all sorts of stuff down. Jake's in our green room. Let me go ahead and get him on the program here. Mm-hmm. And he's in. Hello, Jake. How are you doing tonight?
Fine, Ron. Good evening. Thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. First thing out of the way, how do you pronounce your last name?
Groover.
Groover. Okay. That's, I think that's how I pronounce it. So, I was thinking maybe Grover, but, you know, Groover sounded more reasonable. So
we get it all. That's
I can imagine. Mine's simple. It's Hunt on the last name. So people usually don't get confused with that, but so tell us, number one, what is your job description at the Armstrong Valley Vineyard and Winery?
I am actually one of the two partners, owner partners of the winery. My main focus right now is the winemaking aspect.
Oh, fantastic! So you are the winemaker for Armstrong Valley.
I am.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, then we will jump right into the pod here. The grapes. To begin with, I have to comment, and Mike and I were talking a little bit before the program. Your website is very, very basic.
Yes, it is. I have to admit that. That is a focus of ours coming up here. We're less than a year old. We just opened up about a year ago.
Ah.
And we're still focusing on building our inventory. So we've been very well received, and we've been, again, trying to catch up. So I didn't want to do any more than I could handle as far as sales and requests. So we do a lot on Facebook, but
yeah.
I totally agree that our website is ready for a remake and an update and expansion. So that's coming.
The website was very basic. Went on to it. Mike and I were looking at it, and we're going, whoa. You know, it just – and then Mike says, well, click on the Facebook page. And you got over 2,000 people are following that, 2,000 likes on that. That's just – that's phenomenal if you've only been open for a year. That's great. People obviously have discovered you, and they're following what you have to say there. So
exactly.
Even if you have a basic – website, your Facebook page seems to be the driving force.
Without a doubt, we're pretty much 99% local right now, and as I mentioned earlier, that's our focus. That was our intent to begin with, and so again, we're trying to catch up. At the same time, trying to have our long term vision in place without getting too big too fast. We want to make sure we can take care of what we have, both quality and customer service-wise. So the website, again, will come there, but the Facebook has been phenomenal for us. We started that about a year and a half, maybe before we opened, and people really clinged on to it. It was, I think we filled a void in this area, in this region of the country, and the response has been overwhelming.
The Facebook page is amazing. I mean, we've been open quite some time here, and we've only got about a quarter of what you've got on the winery, you know, Florida State's winery. That's just amazing how many you have. So tell us about Armstrong Valley Vineyard and Winery. How did it start? What was the concept behind it? Why there? Fill us in on that, if you will.
Definitely. I will admit that my partner and I bought this property in 2005, but we did not buy it with the intent of starting a winery. The winery came later. Initially, it's a historic property. It was started or was first owned in 1769 by a guy named Robert Armstrong, and he's the namesake of the valley that we're in, Armstrong Valley, and thus our name. So there's a lot of history with the property. We actually bought the property as a project. It was dilapidated and disrepair and needed quite a bit of maintenance. There's a bank barn, a stone bank barn, as well as a stone house that date back over 200 years ago.
Wow.
And quite a few outbuildings. There's like a tool shop, wood shop, a granary, equipment shed, a stable, ice house, a summer kitchen where they would cook.
Wow.
So we have a little bit of interest in the history, and it's pretty much a second career for both of us. And he is from this area. My partner in this business is from this area, born and raised in Halifax. And we lived around the country, also in Florida. We have a house in Florida. But decided, and I'm actually grew up on a dairy farm up in New Jersey, but most of my family has now migrated over to Pennsylvania as well. So, and we lived in New York, we lived in Chicago, we lived in Florida, we traveled quite a bit, but it was time to settle down somewhere, and we really liked this part of the nation for many reasons. Being a growing up on a dairy farm, I realized at an early age I was not going to be a dairy farmer myself, but I still liked to garden. I like to grow things. And we saw this as a project. First of all, we only bought 9 acres initially with the house and the barn and the outbuildings. We had an opportunity a couple of years after that to buy another 90 acres that were part of the original farm. So we thought, you know, it was a good price. The timing was right. Let's do it. After we bought the rest of the farm, we thought, then the land, the acres, what do we do now? You know, I didn't want to be a dairy farmer. You can't make much money, you know, growing crops of corn and beans. We had started visiting some other wineries in our area. Some of them were in barns, much like ours. So we did a little research and started visiting more and more of the wineries that were in barns. And there are several, quite a few in this region, whether it be Pennsylvania, Virginia, Maryland as well, to see if it was a viable option both from a facility perspective, but also our resources, our land. About the same time, the state of Pennsylvania has really focused on wine grape growing. They have an extension agent. The Penn State Agricultural School has an extension agent who focuses on grape growing for wines, who has been doing that, I think, last 4 or 5 years. So there was a good network in place for us to do some research and to talk to, go to some workshops, and at the same time, look at the market. We could see and hear and just the buzz about local wineries. It was something that people got excited about. So we thought, we have the land, we have the facility. I think with technology today, with hybrids as far as the plants, we knew that we weren't going to be another Sonoma Valley or Napa or you know, the French wine country or Italy. But we understood that going into this, that there's a potential, but yet there's also room for growth. So we've not, I guess, gone gung-ho, but we're not wine connoisseurs to begin with. We've learned a lot ourselves, but we really enjoyed the process. I enjoy the industry. The wineries that we go to in our region and in other parts of other states around here are very welcoming, and they open up and tell us what they've done, lessons they've learned. So we've been able to gain a lot from that. And then the good old internet. You know, there's a lot of research out there that we were able to do as far as a business model. My background is finance and business, CPA. That really helped in the planning process. My partner is more of a designer, interior layouts and flow. He has a degree also in programming, so I can understand processes. So the two of us really hit it off and you know, I think complement each other in this venture. And we decided in late 2008 that we wanted to do this. We planted our first vines in 2009. So we said, let's see if we can plant these things and how well they would grow. We planted 2 acres. In 2010, we planted another 8 acres. So we have 10 acres of our own vines right now. And we'll have to admit easily that it's a lot of work. And then in 2010, as we were planting and waiting for our vines to establish, it takes 3 to 5 years to get a full crop out of your vines. We thought, let's also experiment with some winemaking. There are a lot of vineyards in the state of Pennsylvania that will sell their grapes to other wineries. So we started buying some grapes from other vineyards in our area. so that we could start the winemaking process as well. So we didn't have to wait 5 years and then another couple of years for our wines to age. So that gave us a jump start on having something to offer. Because as you mentioned earlier, and I mentioned, when we started on Facebook, we put it out there right away that we were going to do a winery. We were going to clear the land. We're going to plant these vines. People got very excited about it. And, we wanted to keep that excitement going. So we thought, let's go ahead and there were grapes readily available in our region. Some great wine, grape growers around here, some really good people that we got networked with through the extension agent with Penn State. And we decided to go ahead and open up in 2011 with some earlier wines. There were some sweeter, semi-sweet, a few dry, but they still needed time to age. In 2011, we started the process, aging some wine in 2010 and opened up in 2011, actually May, almost 11 months ago.
Fantastic. You're making the wine?
We are. We're making it right here in our barn. We have all the equipment. We are getting maxed out, though. These bank barns are not huge by any means. And our next struggle is a storage facility. There's a few mounds. We're in the Appalachians of Pennsylvania. My dream is to have a wine cave of sorts in part of our area around here. But right now we're making do. Our intent was, what can we do with this facility, this barn that we had that we wanted to save and salvage, but also put it back into some kind of function so that it was not going to just sit there and deteriorate without being used. And that could also pay for itself as well. So we're looking for a business that we could do in this facility. And people got very excited. We do everything on the first floor. As far as our processing, takes up 80%. We have a tasting room that takes about 20%. The second floor on these bank barns you drive in, we originally used it for equipment and just some of our tank storage and other storage items. Last summer, after we opened in May and June, we thought, what else can we do to get people here? As many wineries do, we started having music on the weekends. We started off with our Friday nights. We found some local acoustical guitarists, some local folks that would play their guitars and sing a few songs out on our patio. We have a little one patio right next to the barn. That's about 1,000 square feet, and that really took off. We found that if we got people here for something, they would buy wine. And they would sit and drink wine, and they would get excited about it. We started getting calls then for bridal showers, anniversary parties. And then soon after that, weddings, started getting requests.
Wow.
And it really took off June, July. By the end of August, we thought we need to have a backup plan because we can't stop this music on the patio come September, October. So we moved inside the barn. We took all of our equipment out. And it's a huge, good-sized barn up there that was very rough, and talked to some local engineers. The structure was sound, and started putting together plans to close it in so we could use it year-round. And at the same time, we did get requests for wedding receptions, wedding ceremonies, anniversaries, etc. I can tell you right now, we have 18 wedding receptions booked for this year already.
Wow. Fantastic.
Over half of them with weddings here on the site. We have a nice site that's conducive to that. We actually, about 3 or 4 years ago, refinished the summer kitchen to re-insulate it and make sure the plumbing was updated, electrical, and that's what actually the brides will be using to prepare in the bridal party. We have a courtyard we just finished re-landscaping that will be used for the ceremony, and then they'll go to the barn upstairs for the reception. And that's just taken off, like, beyond our wildest dreams. Actually, we have 17, 18 receptions booked for this year. May of 2013 is already booked. And I've got two calls again today, people asking about a facility. It's just a need in this area with a winery, with the location, with the history, that I think we've been very fortunate.
It just sounds like it's just ran with it as soon as the people knew about it. And like you say, with the being a winery, I get calls all the time, too. People want, we don't have the big facility, so we have to keep it down like 50, 60 people max. But still, mm-hmm. we're constantly getting calls and doing stuff like that. So when you have a larger facility, It's phenomenal that you are able to book the weddings and do that. It's a great thing.
Today, as a matter of fact, today, Ron, we had a group here. It was a luncheon for a funeral. They had the services this morning, went to the cemetery, did the services there, and came here for a little gathering afterwards.
That's that.
75 to 100 people here.
That's odd.
and it's not our first one. We had one last fall.
Did you?
So
really?
I think our location is in dire need of a facility, but at the same time, people like the idea of a winery.
They do.
And there are a lot of local folks that know us or are getting to know us, and there's a lot of history in the area. So, but at the same time, our focus is customer service is number one, you know, and good wines. So our wines are still young. People realize that. Our dry reds and dry whites, as a matter of fact, you know, we were having a hard time building our inventory so that we can have enough that we can age them because they are hungry for more, and we can't push them out too soon. Same time, you know, we just didn't anticipate the big batches that we would need up front in order to enable us to age them. So it's a good problem. Same time, we want to make sure we don't get ahead of ourselves as well.
Right. That is a good problem. I want a couple of things I want to mention. Number one, anyone listening to the program, if you want to jump on their Facebook page, which is www.facebook.com/Armstrong Valley Winery, just all big one long word, Armstrong Valley Winery. Some great pictures, some great information, all that on the Facebook. So if you want to follow along with some of the stuff, it shows the construction, it shows everything that's been going on that Jake's been talking about here. Let's go out to the vineyard. What do you have planted now?
We actually have 10 varieties. We did a little bit of everything, but there are about 400 or 500 plants, maybe 600 plants. Our max is like 1,000 of one variety. We do have a mixture, and we're looking at our site. We have our main eight-acre vineyard is on a hillside, little rocky, little shale, which they like, south-facing. So most everything seems to do really well there. Because we are a small winery, we don't need to plant just one, two varieties. We do have some French vinifera. Our weather is kind of marginal. This past year is very nice. Everything did very well. But we are cautious about some of the sensitive varieties. But and having said that, Riesling does well for us. Our Chardonnay and Pinot have done well for us. We do have some Cabernet Sauvignon that's a little bit more tender, and a Cabernet Franc's a little bit hardier, that are coming along as well. So in addition to those, we also are doing some native, the Niagara. It was our number one seller, as well as a Chamberson. It's a hybrid that does well in this region. A Traminette and a Vidal Blanc kind of round out what we're growing.
You have a Concord on your website, too. Will you buy those grapes?
Yes, yeah. In our part of the world here, you know, up by Erie, it's much cheaper to buy that than it is for us to grow it, and it's so inexpensive that we find that works very well. That in our land, that we thought, we'll start with these others. Maybe down the road we might do that, but the 10 acres total that we have is enough to keep us busy. What we found very popular, Ron, is to begin with, you know, we did the straight varietals, and that was good. We also supplemented that with some fruit wine. We did get some juice from some wholesalers in our area that we do a selection of fruit wines that are made from the fruit juices. So there's no grape wine in any of our fruit wines. They're all made from apple juice, peach juice, cherry juice, red raspberry, blackberry, etc. Uh-huh. And they have really taken off. So for the first 6 to 7 months, that's all we did, straight varietals and straight fruit. And then in the fall, we started. People were starting to inquire about some blends, and we did some blends, some simple blends, but they have just really taken off. What we call our Rudder Red, because we're on Rudder Road here in Halifax, Pennsylvania. It's a combination of the Concord and the Chamberson, and the Chamberson is a regional dry wine around here, Concord being your sweet wine, but the combination of the two really struck a chord with our market, with the Chamberson being more of a berry flavor and the Concord being your typical grape flavor. That was something that they're moving towards, you know, just strictly off of the grape flavored Concord, and really enjoyed the enjoy the blend with a Chambertin, more of a drier wine. We did that also with the with a white and a red, a Vidal Blanc with our Chambertin for our rosé, more like a Zinfandel. And again, those two have become our number one and number two sellers. People just like that semi-sweet. On the first one I mentioned, the Rudder Red, we actually did a semi-dry version and a semi-sweet version, and they're both selling about 50% each of that, and have been a number one, number two, and number three.
That's amazing. You make a semi-dry Riesling. Why such a low-sugar Riesling?
I don't know. It just happened to happen that way.
Oh, well, no, the reason I ask is because Rieslings, you know, most people are so used to the sweeter style Rieslings, and you don't see a whole, you know, most wine you try to go a little bit sweeter because people are used to sweeter, and yours is, you know, less than 1% residual sugar on it, which is a rather dry Riesling. And I just wonder, because people come into the wine world all the time and say, oh, I love a Riesling. And I'm going, well, you know, that's like saying I love a hamburger. You know, it's just such a range that it's
it actually did very well for us. And I think it's offset the Niagara that we had. You know, we had a Treminet that's a little bit more semi-sweet. We have a Vidal Blanc that's a semi-sweet as well. We actually did, and I get some comments that the people like the flavor and aroma of Niagara, but it's too sweet. We actually, this past year, did a semi-dry Niagara as well.
Oh, yeah?
It's a little different. You know, it strikes a chord with people. So it's to, I guess, offer a range between the sweet and the dry. And so the Riesling happened to fit that bill with a little bit of residual sugar, you know. They liked it. Initially, it was a little soft going, but we ran out. You know, once people got a hold of it and it settled down and it aged a little bit, it went really well. So,
That's good. I mean, I'm glad to see people liking the drier style Riesling, because the drier style Riesling is really, really good.
It wasn't that dry. It might have been a little bit more than 1%, but it was close. It was minimal, you know.
Yeah, well, that's good that you're doing that, not catering to those really, really sweet. But like you say, you have those other sweet wines, and so you don't need to make yet another. So it's.
And we try not to do our fruit wines are not overly sweet. Maybe 4% residual sugar. You know, sometimes in the area are 7-8%. You know, they get pretty sweet, and we don't want it to be too syrupy. It kind of takes away some of the flavor. A little bit of sweetness brings out some flavor in those fruit wines, but too much, then you start covering it up.
Yeah, and you really do. Yes, I really understand that. What do you use as far as aging goes? You using all stainless? You got plastic? You have oak? What are you using?
We have everything.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything. We actually started off, of course, in our stainless steel tanks. We have a few barrels, oak barrels. We did age some Cabernet Sauvignon. We did some Pennsylvania oak as well as some French oak.
Mm-hmm.
And we also had a little bit in plastics from the polyethylene to try those, because they do breathe a little bit with and what we did on our Cabernet Sauvignon, we did some in the oak barrels, both Pennsylvania, French, and a little bit in the polyethylene, combined the three of them and blended them at the end of the process. We actually took a bronze medal at the Pennsylvania Farm Show this past spring
for
that Cabernet Sauvignon. So we're actually doing we will continue to do the oak barrels, but we'll also going to be testing the oak staves inside the polyethylene. Not in the stainless steel. You know, the polyethylene, I think, will still breathe a little bit.
Yes.
And had good luck with that so far. So we'll do a combination of the plastic for our dry reds to age, the oak barrels, and then we'll use the stainless steel for our whites, of course, and some of the fruits. We'll do some of the fruits on some of the bolder fruits. We'll do some of those in the plastic as well.
Yeah, I'm really, really happy to see that you're using plastic, because I'm become more and more of a fan of plastic all the time. It's nice to see that people are starting to experiment with it and use it, because, like you say, it can breathe. It gives you, and the cost is a fraction of what you're going to spend on oak or stainless steel now.
And it's ecologically friendly. You're not killing as many oak trees, near as many oak trees as there are for an oak barrel. You still toast the staves. You know, you actually get the surface that amount that you want, and these plastic tanks that we have are 200-gallon versus a 60-gallon oak. So we've had some really good luck with it, and again, people can't distinguish the difference significantly, especially for our markets. I think it's like 90% the same as putting in an oak barrel if you give it enough time and enough oak.
Yeah, I like I said, I'm a big fan of plastic, so I'm not going to disagree with you. I fell in love with it about 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm an advocate of plastic. Well,
I was going to say, the other thing we do, Ron, with our stainless steel, especially for our whites, is they're jacketed. We have a glycol cooling system, so they don't ferment at a too high temperature. We'd like to keep them at 55 degrees so that they're a slow fermentation. It keeps them a little crisper, a little fruitier.
That's so the stainless steel tanks you mentioned are rather small tanks then, and you have them jacketed?
Yes. When I say, they're 500 gallons, or 525, 2,000 liter.
Okay, yeah, so they're not the big giant ones then.
No. Our first year, we've made about 30,000 bottles, 2,500 cases. So we'll go up there from a little bit, but we don't expect to get too crazy more than that.
That's what they all say.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah, that's right. That's what you say now, but I'll reserve the right to talk to you in a couple of years. We'll see what's happening.
Especially if I get that wine cave that I have a dream of.
That's what you need. Weather there, a couple things. What's your highs and lows right where you are there, and what is the winter highs and lows, the summer highs and lows, your rain days, when do you get bud break and when do you harvest, and what has happened with all the heat that you probably got bud break and then this snow, cold weather that went through? Has that affected you any?
It's been crazy this past 12 months, without a doubt. We are, I think it's zone 6 from an agricultural, gardening perspective. So we'll go down to maybe 0.5 below, maybe every now and then 10 below. But that's not the norm for us. But that we could do that. This past year, we did not. I don't know if we barely went below 0 this past year.
Wow.
So from a cold perspective, I think we're kind of marginal in this mid-Atlantic area of the country that we are. As far as our highs, it can get pretty hot here because we are inland and humid, easily hitting 100 degrees.
Wow.
But every year is different. We have some years that will stay around 85, 90, 95, and some years we'll get 95 to 100. So it is extremes, and that's where this extension officer that came out of Penn State has been really good in helping us understand a program to make sure, because we do have high humidity in this area. We do have heavy dew in the summertime, especially July and August, which creates moisture problems that we have to deal with that you normally wouldn't deal with in France or in other dry parts of wine countries. But we also have dry periods. Some of our summers are extremely dry, which is perfect for wine grape growing. Unfortunately, it's not consistent. Last year, it started off wet in 2011. We had a dry July and August, but September hit. We got hit with 17 inches of rain in the month of September last year. It was phenomenal, mind-boggling. Fortunately, Ron, at that time, 80% of our grapes, were to their level that we would like to see them achieve. So it wasn't that it harmed them. They maybe don't have the intensity they might have in a year where they had another month to mature in the fall. So the rains came and we started harvesting. Pinot comes up, it's one of our first bud breaks, and the Chardonnay is right behind it. Are pretty early bloomers. So they're out and about right now. Here it is, April 29th, 27th,
28th? 7th, yeah.
It's happening. We did have a very warm March, I think, as everybody did. Scared me a little bit. We were pruning at that time, and they say, a late pruning will help to delay the bud break a little bit, and I think that did help us.
Did it? Yeah. No.
And so we had enough cool weather and some cool nights that it did slow them down a little bit. So to date, this spring, we're still in pretty good shape. But now going forward, it's going to be scary if we do get any cold snaps. We still get down into the 30s at night, 38, 39, which I think is good because it does slow them down a bit.
Right.
But yeah. We have had, you know, we were, I think, at 80, 85, 86 degrees not too long ago.
So that snow that hit north of you didn't come down?
No, we're right. We're actually on the southern side of the Appalachian Mountains. So it was like 2 hours away. It got pretty close, but it didn't get here. So I think we are buffered a little bit for these types of extremes. So we are a little bit, Philadelphia is, and the Maryland area are a little bit lower. So they're a little bit warmer. And we're kind of, we're not too far into the Appalachians. So that did buffer us from that snow. But again, as I said last fall, all that rain that we had, we were able to harvest in the rain and the grapes themselves, and I think in the juices were 85%, I'll say, of our goal, but the plants got really beat up because of the humidity and the moisture and the mildew. So I was a little bit worried about that, but thank God we had a mild winter because they didn't have an opportunity to store some of the energy they would need to get going again if it was a hard winter. But they're budding out pretty good right now. We're in the middle of bud break right now.
Good, good. Well, that Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc are the ones you really, those tend to, you know, can't handle hard winters up there, and that's...
Exactly.
Are you any influence from Maryland and the Pacific, or the Atlantic Ocean? And
A little bit, but we're on the edge. We're kind of on the edge there.
So you don't really get an influence from them to speak of?
No.
Any big body of water around you or anything that gives you any influence?
The only thing we have is the Susquehanna River, which kind of goes through the central part of Pennsylvania, but it's a moving. It's not anything that's going to retain much heat for us.
Right, right. So it's basically just the land that you have there that's really what you and where you're situated and what you rely on then.
Like I said, we're on the southern side of the Appalachian Mountains, so that really protects us a bit. You know, we one of the things I will share some experiences, once we did start this venture and we opened up last year and people started coming and we spent a lot of time with them and picking their brain and finding out what their I want to say likes or dislikes are, and we found there were a lot of people that do go to the Finger Lakes up in New York. We had no idea. We thought Yingling is just up the street from us and we thought there were a lot of beer drinkers around here, and there are, but we also found that the market for the wine drinker is much bigger than we anticipated. And I think that's changing. I think with the population, people are getting more curious about it. You know, they're not so afraid of it, or they're intrigued by it.
Right.
So,
and it's affecting all age groups too. People are starting to, I think, get away from the heavy drinks, the spirits.
Yes,
and wine is a nice alternative.
I agree. Especially with our music venue that we offer, a lot of people will come on a Friday night, bring a picnic basket with some cheese and crackers or some snacks. We'll have two or three couples come together and they'll sit around. We provide some tables and chairs and listen to some acoustical guitar and some different. We have different groups that come, usually two, three people at the most, and they can socialize in a great environment. They just fell in love with it and they keep coming back.
That sounds wonderful.
And they can have, you know, what we do is we offer them, they can buy it by the bottle. Whatever they don't drink, we can recork it before they leave. And it's cheaper than buying it by the glass.
Yeah, that's really the best way to do it. We do a lot of bottles, too, when people drink on the premises. What, you're not in an AVA there, then, are you?
No, we are not. Our closest one would be Lehigh Valley has an AVA. It's a little bit, it's about 100 miles east of us.
East? Well, you're in the middle of the state there, though. That's, you know.
Yeah, south central.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, Halifax. Halifax is where?
We're about 20 miles north of Harrisburg.
Oh,
Harrisburg is about 120 miles west of Philadelphia.
So about in the middle of the state there.
Call it central Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh's on the other side. We're about, you know, four hours from Pittsburgh. So we're a little bit to the east, but yet they call it central.
Uh-huh.
But we're on the eastern central portion. Not too far from Gettysburg. Everybody knows where Gettysburg is.
Oh,
Gettysburg,
yeah.
Hour south of us.
Oh, wow. So you're right there in the middle of all of it.
Yeah.
which is nice too. Halifax is a big town, small town? What?
No, very small town. I think in our township there's about 3,500 people.
Wow! So you're drawing the people for weddings and everything from where?
Harrisburg. There are a lot of bedroom communities around here. People work in Harrisburg. Harrisburg is the state capital. So, and we're about 20 miles north, and there's a lot of little communities between here and Harrisburg that we're drawing from. We did just join. We formed a new wine trail that actually is rolling out in May for Hershey. We're right next to Hershey also. Hershey is next to Harrisburg, the great American chocolate bar. We're about 45 minutes from Hershey. And that's in our county. We're in the same county as Hershey and Harrisburg. So we have a new wine trail. It's called the Hershey-Harrisburg Wine Country. There are 12 wineries because there are several more that have just opened up in Dauphin. We're called Dauphin County in our region within 45 minutes of Harrisburg that we're starting a new wine trail. And we linked up with that. That is giving us lots of exposure as well.
It sounds like it's just giving you a great exposure with the number of people you got visiting and on the Facebook page there. It's just phenomenal.
People like to go somewhere different. We get a lot of requests from the brides and bridal parties that, you know, all their friends got married at this place or that place, and we're a new venue that we're within driving distance, you know, 20 miles, half an hour. They can come here and have a wedding and get out of their backyard or out of their town and yet offer something convenient to their families and friends.
And it's easy and it's convenient and it's a winery, which is always great.
Exactly.
Government, you mentioned the state extension, Penn State Extension, but what about the Pennsylvania government and federal government? Are you good, bad, want to hug them, want to kill them? How they treat you?
The Liquor Control Board in the state of Pennsylvania is very restrictive. However, in my mind, my opinion, I guess I'll say, we have what's called a limited wineries license that allows us to do a lot that I think that in this state we're very grateful for. All of our liquor stores are still state-owned in the state of Pennsylvania. You can only buy beer wine and spirits at a wine and spirit store. You can't buy beer there. You have to go to a beer and soda store to buy beer in the state of Pennsylvania.
You can't
buy wine or beer at a grocery store in the state of Pennsylvania. So they're still very, I think, in the dark
antiquated
ages.
Antiquated is the word you're looking for.
What's that?
I said antiquated is the word you're looking
yes,
for.
Yes, yes. Yeah. However, I think what our saving grace, Ron, is because we are grape growers, we are considered an agricultural business.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, I think, a good lobby group, I'll say, or we've been very fortunate from allowing us to have what we call a limited winery license. Now, we're not allowed to do too much. We can sell, we can do tastings and sell our wine and maybe offer some crackers, you know, but we cannot sell any kind of food, do any kind of preparation. It has to be catered. And we cannot, and we can only sell limited items that relate to wine in our tasting room. So in that area, we're pretty restricted. But that's fine because, again, we can sell directly to other restaurants and other I guess hotels or whatever. So from that perspective, I think the Liquor Control Board has been very favorable to us. And we are also just now getting into festivals. They're getting to be pretty big in our area. A lot of people like to go to a wine festival,
yeah.
And so there are more and more. We have to apply for a special permit. So long as we are promoting an ag business, which we are, they've been very, receptive to that and have allowed us we have to request a permit to go to a wine festival. They have to be very specific where, when, what time, and what, you know, the details. But they've been very good, I think, from that perspective.
Well, laws are changing there, too. Just a couple of weeks ago, I read something where laws in Pennsylvania were changed a little bit about wines.
It's shipping wine. And initially, you had, in order to ship in the state, you had to ship it to a liquor store, and someone had to pick it up from a liquor store. So they are loosening that as well.
Well, good. That's, it gets out of hand. Mike, is there anything that you can think of that you'd like to ask Jake that I haven't covered, I haven't talked about? That is, if Mike's there. Mike's been having some video audio. Oh, you're there.
Yeah,
good.
I'm trying to be here, but no, I'm doing pretty good. This is very interesting. And I was, you know, when I went to the Facebook page, I was really impressed by the amount of likes that you had on there before. I think that's how we kind of started off the discussion tonight. But that's amazing to have over 2,000, you know, likes on there, and you've only been open for, what'd you say, a year?
Less than a year. May will be our first year. I attribute that to pictures and videos. People love pictures and videos.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
We did a ton of them, and we continue to, you know.
Yeah.
That's a great Facebook page. It's really got a lot of information on there.
Did you do any other kind of advertising for your Facebook page? I mean, were you involved with because our guest last week, Mark, I think it was?
Mike Wilson.
Mike Wilson. I mean, he's you know, a marketing, you know, person.
Right.
And
Mike is with the Hershey Harrisburg Wine Trail group.
Yes.
So no, we did not do anything with them, you know, but I can understand where he's coming from, because we've joined another wine trail called the Susquehanna Heartland Wine Trail. And there are some wineries that have been around for a long time that have not grasped, I think, the social media. And, you know, he's helping them catch up. So I came from the corporate world, and so I've had some experience, I guess, in understanding, you know, how to communicate and sending our message and making it clear. And so is my business partner here as a degree in technology. But and it's something that we're good at, I guess. We enjoy it. And people see that, and we get excited, as you can tell from my I guess tone of voice here. I hope we're enjoying what we're doing, and when we share that, I think people also in this area are shocked that there's a winery in Halifax, because it's happened in Halifax for so long. But they're also excited about it, and so they share our excitement, and that has helped spread the word through family and relatives and friends. And so we've been, as I mentioned early on, trying to make sure we can manage the growth before we get too far ahead of ourselves.
Right.
So we haven't pushed it too much. But I think there's also a void here that we have filled a need, whether it is something people can appreciate, enjoy, grasp onto, brag about, you know, and feel good about at the same time. So we feel pretty lucky and fortunate, and we want to keep that going as we move into more of our venue. But at the same time, our focus has always been making sure we can maintain producing good wine and providing good customer service.
A great following on there. I just wasn't sure if you were using billboards or, you know, how did you got the word out so quickly.
We're supposed to be getting some highway signs here in the next couple of weeks through the state. I did request and got approved for some, because we had a lot of people that come up and say, you really need some directional signs, because we've not had any. So we are very fortunate, yes.
Yeah, very good. Wow.
Is it just you and your partner, or is your significant others or children, anyone else working with you?
Nope. Some family and friends, but just the two of us.
Wow.
I actually have children from a previous marriage, but they're all out west. I remember that the night before we opened, we were at 598 or 599, and so I called my kids and I said, I need a couple more to hit 600. So we had 601, 602 the day we opened on likes out there. But so we challenged people, and they get excited about that too. I remember, you know, who our 1,000th like was. But now we're getting to the point where people are going to have expectations for us. So we have to make sure we can deliver on those expectations and maintain, you know, who we are. So we actually are continually to – people are always surprised, because we would like to share new things that we're doing as far as our facility. As I mentioned earlier, again, that they saw this site. People drive by here quite a bit, and they saw it, you know, kind of falling in disrepair, and they're appreciative of the fact that we're doing something with it, something that they're proud of. And they get excited about, but that, you know, there's We have 10 outbuildings in addition to our barn and house.
Wow.
We've done maybe two or three, and there's other buildings out there that we have potential. But, again, we'll take our time. It takes resources, first of all, and making sure we have the right thought that does it fit into our model and fit into our philosophy and is going to enhance their experience without getting, again, too big, too fast. One thing I'll mention here that, you know, before we go is things that we've done that we're going to do again is we have our own little festivals here at the winery. Last year we had a couple, and we have another one come up here in May. And we invite local craftspeople to come. In our courtyard, we can fit about 25 vendors out there. And we focused on that, on artisans that make their own wares, whether it's pottery, broom, jewelry, candles. We have some people that make some items from beeswax and so forth. So people like that. We have some that make some homemade soaps and lotions and so forth, rather than, you know, made in China having a yard sale. But promoting the local folks. We've had some great business people that have teamed up with us, and working together, that's helped get our likes up, but also has helped their business as well. I'll mention Patty Leitzel with the Brick House Craft Shop. Been phenomenal in helping us with our artisans, because that then helps her business as well. But, again, it's just the word of mouth. And it's also when somebody else can talk about our winery besides myself and my partner, I think people begin to listen a little bit more and have more credibility from that perspective. And that's our goal, is promoting it through third parties rather than doing it ourselves.
Sounds to me like you have yourself a great plan. You have yourself a great location, and you guys are excited about it. This is just really fantastic. Your excitement is contagious. You can understand why people like it so much.
And Mike Wilson and the folks at Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country have been phenomenal. And when they started talking to us, it started off with another winery. It's a new winery, and I'll mention Jason Reimer's name out there. You know, he's the one that put a lot of time and effort into getting that wine trail together. You know, they've been very good and hopefully it's a good partnership. When we work together, I think everybody wins.
And something like that, you're absolutely right. Jake, thank you very much for being on the program tonight. Before we leave, I would like you to give the information about Armstrong Valley Winery. Tell us how to get a hold of you guys, where you're located, address, phone numbers, all that pertinent information in case any of the listeners want to get in touch with you or stop by and visit you.
You bet, Ron. That's great. As you mentioned, we have a website. It's armstrongvalleywinery.com. It is pretty basic, but there is basic information out there. We also are on Facebook at Armstrong Valley Winery. But also, the best way to get a hold of us is email is info@armstrongvalleywinery.com. We are open Thursday through Sundays. Our hours are posted out there on our website. And our phone number, we'd love to take messages here, is area code 717-896-7700. Again, 717-896-7700. We're located at 212 Rudder Road, Halifax, Pennsylvania, 17032.
Fantastic. Thank you
very much for being on with us
tonight.
Yeah, thank you. Very good.
And if we're ever up in that area, we will definitely make Armstrong Vineyard and Winery one of our stops. So
appreciate
thanks
it.
A lot for taking your time and being with us.
You're welcome, guys. Have a good evening.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, very cool. Like
very
that.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Very informative. He was interesting. I mean, that's great.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many hits they have on their Facebook page.
I know. I was thinking, you know, he must be on FM or AM every day. You don't just come out of nowhere, you know, with as many people that are on Facebook and all of a sudden you grab your audience like that.
He did,
and
though. I mean, just,
that's amazing.
But you were looking at Facebook. I know you were, and I was too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's a good Facebook page. I mean, the Facebook's new timeline they have for business and stuff is great. And it really is working well for him, because it shows, if you go back to the, you know, a couple years ago on the Facebook page, you can start seeing the buildings coming up and what they're doing with it, because they really do fill in with pictures and everything.
Oh, yeah.
Really, yeah, it's really a lot of fun. But a great guest. Yeah. Great information, great guest. Thank you, Jake, again. That was fantastic.
Yep.
And so we have a festival this weekend ourselves. Jake was just talking about theirs coming up in May, but we have one day after tomorrow.
Oh, wasn't that good?
That worked well. He explained a lot about what we do.
Yes, he does. Let's see. Did you have other topics you want to cover? You want me to usual thing? Okay.
Yeah, I've got information to pass on. Oh, I did mention something a couple weeks ago. Let me say this quickly before we start talking and finishing up about the about our festival this Saturday. I mentioned a week or two ago, I think it was just last week, about the new vanilla cream wine.
Yes.
Called Vanilla Noir, which was the company Premium Blend launched a Choco Noir wine, and they added the Vanilla Noir to its portfolio. Had an opportunity to pick up a little 50 milliliter plastic bottle of each of those. Walgreens, and not the advertised Walgreens, and they're not giving me royalties, but Walgreens had a little small 50 milliliter individual serving, which is about an ounce and three quarter, what it boils down to.
Which is not enough.
No. That was enough. It wasn't. It tasted like watered down cream with alcohol in it. The vanilla cream wine. It wasn't impressive. And believe me, I'll try anything. This is one thing I learned years ago. You don't know until you try it down the wine.
Yep.
And I wasn't real impressed with it. It wasn't really, really sweet. I'm sure there's a niche out there. I'm sure there's people out there that will love it. Because there's always those who like those things. But it wasn't one of the ones that I would go out and continue to purchase. So just my little personal review of it. And
wow.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Very good.
I read about that last week, and I actually had an opportunity to buy it and taste it. And
I didn't realize Walgreens had that kind of thing. So
they do. You can probably swing in the Walgreens. They got the big bottles, the 750s, but then they had some little small tasting bottles, the little 50 milliliter bottles that you can taste it. And that's, and that's a good way to do it.
Okay. Yeah. It's and how expensive was it?
It was 99 cents for the little small ones. And I think it was $7.99 or $8.99 for the big ones.
Oh, and we talked about how price equals quality. So
a little bit. It does reflect a little bit in the quality. You're right.
Yeah, you get what you paid for on that one. That's all it is. Okay. But that's not Walgreens' fault. No. We're not messing with Walgreens, the big large corporation.
Yeah.
No, it was the Winers. Was there a name brand on it? I mean, was it like
it's very noticeable. It's sort of a white bottle. It's got a purple label on it. It says Vanilla Noir, and then it's a darker colored bottle. Excuse me, a darker colored bottle, and the darker colored bottle has a name, a darker label on it, and it says Choco Noir. So,
and that's it. I mean, where was it made? Nothing.
It's California, is what it is.
Oh, okay.
It says, actually, the bottle on the side says, well, it's got the government warning on there, which is required, but the little thing on the side says, other than grape wine with natural flavors added. So other than grape wine with natural flavors added.
Okay,
It's distributed by, wait a minute, bottled by Premium Blend Company, Auburndale, Florida?
No way.
Yeah. Got an 800 number here on the website. The Premium Blend Company of Auburndale, Florida.
Huh. Isn't that interesting?
That is very. I didn't realize. 14% alcohol by volume. Wow. But it says vanilla and little pretty butterfly and vanilla noir. French vanilla wine specialty. My premium. I got a little bottle here. But that's interesting. But it, anyone out there, give it a try. It's worth a try. It's worth to say that you tried it. I'm sure I will get a lot of people coming into the winery now saying, "Have you tried that new vanilla wine?" And I'll say, "Yes."
Yep. Okay. Well, let's see. What do we have here? I have. I think I have the generic. Well, you do have a wine fest this Saturday, and I'll just roll. I think this is the old one, but I'll roll the. We'll be back in 1 minute and 15 seconds right after this.
Coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flune.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yep. And, okay. Yeah, there was a mention in there about, that you're family-friendly, and I don't know if it mentioned pet-friendly or not, but family-friendly, sometimes, you may hear like, it's a, not a wine tasting in particular, but, there may be some people out there that might be having this image in their head that it's like a bar type of setting, and it's not.
No.
It's not anything close to like, some, biker put, I don't know what you call it, but it's a total different experience, and it's not, you can feel safe taking your kids here and that kind of thing. So it's, like it says, it's great for the whole family, and you're not going to go, I better not take them in there because it's alcohol being, it's not like that. So, they are serving wine, but it's not like that type of atmosphere where you would kind of shrug off saying, I better not take my kids in there. It's totally, totally cool with family. So, definitely.
It's a dumb sucker, too.
Oh, I didn't know you had those.
Yeah. Oh, you don't get it. You're not a kid. That's why you never knew.
Oh.
No.
Right, well, let's see if I can borrow some kids or something and take
the sucker.
Go in there, give me a couple of suckers. You can come back out.
Well, next time you come in, I'll give you a sucker.
but it's definitely family friendly, pet friendly. Picnics are welcome. I mean, it's that kind of setting. You can take a seat outside on the picnic tables out there underneath the giant oak trees, which provide very good amount of shade. It's fantastic. And really just enjoy if you want a lazy Saturday, there you go. And, you've had a long work week, and it's time to just relax and sit back and enjoy it. And that's a good place to enjoy your Saturday and, any day, because you're open, like, every day. So,
yes.
Except major holidays. But, check it out. Winery's open daily, like I said, 11 a.m. until 6 p.m., and just a fantastic place. So definitely head out there. And next week. Let's see.
We'll still be in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
I think we're still be in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
At least one more week. We've been, Mike Wilson has really been very good about getting us connections. And so maybe one more week. While we were talking about the thing, I looked up Premium Blend, which is the company that makes this vanilla noir. And the website has listed at the bottom cordials, which is Almaden Royale, Triple Sec, Cafe Royale, Peach Royale, Peppermint Royale. Liquor flavors, Rumbero, Tequista, Clear Red, K-L-I-R, Sir William, and King George. Ready to drink, they got Holiday Nog, Choco Nor, Amore di Verano, Fiesta Rita, and mixes. They don't have anything that's, but all sorts of cocktail mixes they have available. Sangria, they have a bunch of sangria mixes and stuff that they have available. Fine wine, they have. Now I'm just reading the site. Fine wine, it lists this: duct tape, silk and lace, and prime. Okay.
Have you ever had some duct tape? Because that is really good stuff.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, you chew it up though, because it's got a lot of fiber and that sticky stuff, and you can't get it up. It's amazing. It is just wow. I mean, you can chew on that for a long time. Duct tape lasts forever.
It's like
amazing.
Beef jerky, only better.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Without all the soda added.
That's amazing. Well, that's interesting names though. I'm just thinking. Now, okay, let me go back to that. What you bought was. What you bought, the vanilla cream, was it the vanilla cream, right?
Vanilla Noir is what it's called.
Noir, okay. Yeah, was it sold as a wine or sold as a liqueur? Because it sounds like, it's by non-grates or a wine.
It's under ready to drink.
Okay.
Well, yeah, they do. Because here, I just pulled up their fine wines. I pulled up duct tape. Duct tape. It is spelled D-U-C-K, duck tape, and the label is like a regular, like duct tape color, the gray duct tape color, and it looks like a duct tape wrapped around it. And they have a Cabernet Sauvignon, they have a Merlot, they have a Sauvignon Blanc, and a Chardonnay under the duct tape blend.
But what you had, the vanilla, was that in the store or in Walgreens, was that sold as a wine? Or because you said the label on that vanilla, it said it's a product not made from wine.
Other than
grapes
grape wine with natural flavors added.
Other than grape wine.
But
it's not
14% alcohol, so it is alcohol.
Yeah. But the contents of it, does it say anywhere on there that it is a wine or that it's just like a liqueur thing? Because you can buy like the Kahluas. What's the Kahlua? I mean, they put alcohol and something else in it, and they put it in those little bottles, but it's a Kahlua.
This has got the wine warning on the label though. The government warning.
Huh.
Yeah, it's fermented, I'm sure. It's not distilled.
See, I'm wondering if they're selling it as a wine.
Well, it says wine specialty on the label.
But it's not made from wine grapes.
No.
That confuses
me.
But
neither is honey mead. And it's still classified as a wine.
Huh. Okay. Well,
so here, silk and lace. I pulled that up. This is something else they have here in fine wines. This is silk and lace. Wow, in a bottle. Silk and lace has captured the taste of ecstasy and placed it in a bottle for all to enjoy. Silk and lace is a cross between honey, wine, jasmine, lime, imagination, and fascination.
And what does
enjoy silk and lace? Enjoy silk and lace chilled on the rocks with a splash of soda. In a silk and lace martini, or come up with your own sinfully delicious recipe. Heaven and earth will never seem so close. For everyone in search of pleasure and excitement in their lives, there is now silk and lace.
I'm seeing a future guest on the program.
Hey!
That would be an interesting. There's just something that I don't know. It doesn't. There's something sounds interesting. Just on what they're offering and what they're saying there.
Prime. Now they have Prime. with a wine heritage inspired by Spanish and Italian immigrants, rolling farmland that is akin to France and an environment parallel to New Zealand and Australia. The hottest up-and-coming wine will soon be arriving from South America's best-kept secret, Uruguay. Prime Wines is leading the change with a line of high-quality varietals at a fantastic price. Prime Wines are available in Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Sauvignon Blanc, and Chardonnay. They're bottled using the newest technology, twist-cap finish, to ensure freshness in every glass. If you want to be on the leading edge of the wine world or you just enjoy exploring great wine regions, we invite you to enjoy Prime Wine today.
Hmm.
So great wines from the new Down Under.
Hmm. Okay. Well.
Hey, this, you're right, though. This could be. Oh, they even have a whole line of glasses and decanters and blenders and
yeah, they could talk for quite a bit on what they have and explain some of that stuff. So
this, and let's see. Oh, wait a minute. What's this say? Oh no, that's not. It said legal, and I just want to see what it says legal here, but. It just didn't. Oh, they got gin. They got vodka. I like that duct tape. That's a good name. and
yep.
The company contact. Oh, yeah, we got all sorts of emails and all sorts of stuff. Let's see. Corporate headquarters is located at 2661 West 81st Street, Hialeah, Florida.
Oh, Hialeah. Yeah. Okay.
And the California address is in South El Monte, Texas, in Grand Prairie, Texas.
Hmm.
But I got emails. I'll have to get a hold of them. Maybe we can get them on the air. I'd love to talk with them.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. We were talking about labels, and you know, back to that. I'm still kind of puzzled by what you had. If it sold as a wine, I thought there was a label. You know, they were coming up with some. We were talking about labels, or you know, you can't call something champagne unless it comes from a region. You know, the region
right,
in France,
right.
And it seems like they're real restrict. They're real strict on, you know, if you put it on the bottle, it should be inside the bottle as well. And if they're selling that as a wine, but it's not from wine grapes. That kind of doesn't make sense.
It doesn't, you know, but, well, like fruit wines. You got fruit wines that don't have any, like, we just talked to Jake, and he said that they have those line of seven different fruits where no grapes are used in any of them.
Well, okay. Well, that doesn't make sense.
So, you know, technically, wine should be from grape.
Mm-hmm.
That wine is a fermented grape, but we've morphed that into meaning any fermented item is wine.
Or fermented fruit. Isn't grape a fruit?
Yeah, well,
okay.
Yeah, but still, you know, we've got dandelion wine, we've got, you know, onion wine, we've got tomato wine, we've got all sorts of stuff. You can do just about anything in wine. Anything can be fermented. You add a little bit of yeast to it, you add a little bit of sugar to it, and you can ferment just about anything.
Onion wine?
yeah. Onion wine.
Oh,
every
disgusting.
Year wins a gold medal at the Florida State Fair. I know the guy who makes it. He wins a gold medal every year.
It just sounds disgusting. It sounds like as soon as you open the bottle, you cry.
Very good. I like that.
I don't know. Or maybe you don't open the bottle. You peel it.
Peel the bottle.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never heard of that.
You
I've
have
never
to
heard
drink
of it.
Layers.
Yeah.
Layers of flavor.
I just never heard of that.
Yeah, onion wine. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh, I've never heard of that. That's strange. Does it? Have you had any of it?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have.
And
yeah.
Does it have an onion flavor to it?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it does.
God.
Now he came by 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago. After the Florida State Fair, which is right down in Tampa, and we're just north of Tampa, for those of you out there listening, and if you haven't hung up on us yet. just right down in, you know, he's down at State Fair in Tampa, and if you go down, you can pick up whatever you entered. after the fair is over. You can go back and get all of your wines, or you can just tell him, you know, I don't want them. But he went down and he stopped by. He lives just north of us, a short distance north of here. And he stopped by the winery, and he'd come by, and he tasted some of my wines, and he was telling me that he won first prize, a double gold for his wine. I go, oh, what? And he goes, onion. And I go, excuse me, I didn't understand you. He goes, onion. And I go, I heard onion. He goes, that's right. I go, oh. He goes, would you like to try it? And I go, yeah, next time you're by, bring. And he said, I got some in the car. And I go, okay. So he went out and got it, and he brought it in. And made with Vidalia onions, right on the label, Vidalia onions. And it was, it tasted like onions. If you're looking at adding an onion flavor to cooking, it's great for that. I mean, it was just great for cooking. But again, as all the chefs say, you should never cook with a wine you would not drink. And I don't know. Every time I tell people that, I always think back on this onion wine. I mean, it just.
Mm-hmm.
It smelled like onion. It tastes like, now, not overpowering. I mean, it's just Vidalia onions tend to be a little bit sweeter onion. And so the wine wasn't real heavy, deep oniony. It was mild oniony. I coined a word there, didn't I?
I think so.
But it was interesting. I had it for a long time. I had it underneath the counter, and people were talking about wines and stuff, and I drank up and show it to them, and they go, "You got to be kidding!" There it is, yeah. And it wins double gold almost every year because that's he's the only one in his category.
Yeah, what category? Strange, unusual, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, oh God, that's okay. Well, yeah. Okay. I
so,
mean,
yeah.
You can't really knock it unless you try it. So
yeah, and, you know, I tried it, I can knock it.
Okay.
It's not something you sit around and enjoy with dinner. It really is.
Okay. Oh, gosh, what a combination. You could have, like, garlic something and onion wine.
Yeah. Well, we've talked to so many wineries. Some of the stuff, I mean, like that guy in Mexico does that pepper, the chili pepper wine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, nothing should surprise us.
No. Mm-mm. No. Except the ending of the show. No, that's
and
still
that's
not a surprise.
Right, Tom. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess, let's see, what do I have here? We'll just do the usual outro, I guess, again, and close the show for tonight. We will be back May the 3rd. And it sounds like we'll cover Pennsylvania at least one more time.
One more time. If not, then I've got a bunch of stuff to pass on to everyone. So it's not like we're going to.
Yeah. There will be a show next week.
Mm-hmm.
Next Thursday, May 3rd. That'll be 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and 6 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Mountain. So definitely join us. And anybody international, you have to convert that from there. So because I have no idea what it is.
That reminds me, too. You mentioned that, and I don't want to interrupt you, but every time we have an opening, I say on the opening, I'm done with Australia, and we're going to be moving on to some other place. There is a girl that is on our Facebook page, the winery's Facebook page, who is in Australia, and she is a winemaker there in Australia, and she has a winery, and she has agreed to be on the program.
Oh, good.
So we need, to set up a Skype time or something so that it's convenient for all of us. I don't know the time difference or anything. I haven't sat down and figured it out. But, it's tomorrow there already. I always like to say we know the world's not going to end today because it's already tomorrow in Australia.
Even the rim shot didn't want to play on that one.
So, I know. Nah. That's sad. We needed it.
Nah, not that time.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that'll be interesting.
We need to get a hold of her. But, yeah.
We'll have to convert the time over for and see what it is.
See what we can come up with.
Okay.
But thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. We appreciate it. Good program. Thank you again, Jake, for being on. And
Armstrong,
thank you, Mike.
Valley.
We'll see you next week.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be back next Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So tune in May 3rd right here on Blog Talk Radio on All About Wine. It is blogtalkradio.com/ all about wine. And the rest of the information, our contact information and Twitter and Facebook, is coming up now. And, of course, that's the same one I played last week. I know. Here, we'll try it one more time. I got to get some kind of... Yeah. Everybody dance!
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A special thanks to our special guests who have appeared on the show, and thanks to you, our listeners, for tuning in and supporting All About Wine. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Go to twitter.com or facebook.com/AllAboutWineBTR. We welcome your comments and questions by email at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. The email address again is allaboutwine101@gmail.com. All About Wine is a weekly program featuring Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. The winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. From Interstate 75, take exit 285 and go west for approximately 4 miles. Or from US 19, the Suncoast Parkway, and US 41, go east on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. for retail sales and wine tasting. Visit the gift shop and enjoy the peaceful setting outside under a large shady canopy of oak trees. Florida Estates Winery is pet friendly and picnics are welcome. For more information, call area code 813-996-2113. That's area code 813-996-2113. Or visit us on the web at www.floridaestateswines.com. Again, that's floridaestateswines.com. Be sure to subscribe to our informative bi-weekly newsletter. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Wow. Yeah, I mean, we thought I had people doing the sausages, didn't they?
I was.
So, well, there you go. I mean, yeah. Maybe we should keep the background and just change the voice around a little bit. Okay. Anyway, so there's your information. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all next
night,
Thursday.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah. Good night, and have a great week. We'll see you next time. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
We're done. Okay.